are you optimistic about?
You know, about religious issues, about my religious life. I just try to be optimistic in lots of cases. But optimistic, I mean, I try to just lean on God's mercy and blessings.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
When should we be optimistic and when should we be pessimistic? Do we have something in narrations regarding that?
Yes, definitely. Islam has provided us with lots of recommendations about how to live and how to treat
others.
Yes. You know, I want to refer to a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. I'm not going to recite the exact hadith, but the gist of the hadith is that your hope in God must be in a way that it won't draw you to mistakes or harams.
Okay.
And on the other hand, your hope in God must not be in a way that you become disappointed from God's mercy and blessings.
So Imam is kind of trying to tell us be both optimistic and pessimistic as well.
Both, yes, depending on the situation. And after thinking about such an issue, I came up with a conclusion that, you know, sometimes when you do a mistake unintentionally or out of ignorance,
okay,
when you do something and you don't know, when you do something bad and you don't know about the consequences that it might have for you and other people, and then just soon you regret what you have done,
mm-hmm,
that is the time when you should be optimistic about God's
mercy
and God's blessings, and just try to compensate for your mistakes.
Okay.
And on the other hand, we might have occasions when you just, you know, do something bad intentionally, do mistakes or harams intentionally in the hope of God's mercy. No, that's wrong, and God definitely does not accept.
Yeah, we have such kind of people around, you know, we have especially youth who say that.
Yes.
Since Allah is Rahman and Rahim,
yes,
He is kind and He's merciful.
Unfortunately, yes.
And
they do whatever they want.
Yes.
Yes, and that's not the correct way. You know, God has not asked us to do such a thing at all. And doing intentional haram and doing intentional wrong deeds definitely has its consequences. Yes, although God is Rahman or Rahim, as you said, and has mercy upon us.
He is kind and merciful.
Yes, but definitely that does not mean that we should have the courage to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
We should hurt people. We should do bad things. No, it is not the way. We must set some confinements for ourselves.
And so here we have to be pessimistic, I think. Like, for example, we have optimistic thinking about the kindness of Allah, about the mercifulness of Allah.
Yes.
We say we are extremely optimistic here, and we say, like, we can do whatever we want because God is kind and He is merciful.
Yes.
And He is forgiving, because
yes,
so many places in Quran,
yes,
or in many narrations, we know that He is
God
the most forgiving one.
His mercy, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
He's the most forgiving one. You should go,
yes,
and regret, and He is the most forgiving one. So
yes,
I must never go with this intention, let me commit a sin, and then let me, like, go for regret, and then Allah will forgive me. I am here very optimistic about His,
yeah,
mercy. I should be optimistic, but
yeah,
not before committing the sin.
Yes,
I should be
definitely
optimistic, like if I committed a sin unintentionally and now I want to regret, and I should have optimism over here that He will forgive me for sure,
me,
with the hope that I never,
yes,
do any,
yes,
more sins, you know,
yes,
I never go,
right,
any more wrong way. So I started with the people, you know, I told you, like, we have people who give us negative vibes and we start thinking bad about them before they, poor people, do something to us,
yes.
before they do good or bad to
yes.
us. Just because of this vibe, we start thinking very pessimistic about them. I think even in that regard, we have in Quran, we have in Surah Hujurat, I think towards some verse number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, O believers, do not let some men ridicule others, they may be better than them. And nor let some women ridicule other women, they may be better than them. Do not defame one another, nor call each other by offensive nicknames. How evil is it to act rebelliously after having faith, and whoever does not repent, it is they who are the true wrongdoers. So everything starts with this negative thinking, being yeah. pessimist about yeah. someone. Quran says that yes. do not be pessimistic about people. Some bad thinkings about, like some bad thoughts what you have regarding others yes. may be sin.
Yes.
So Quran is stopping us because yes. I think, you know, many of the conflicts in the families, many of mm-hmm. the conflicts between the youth, the
family
friendship,
members. Yes.
The friendship, you know, friendship of youth start
yes.
with this bad thinking.
Yes.
Start with this pessimism about others.
Yes. And Allah exactly knows what happens inside us, what happens in our mental conversations with ourselves, exactly knows it and warns us about the consequences of being pessimistic and doing some bad things to the person that we're talking to due to our pessimism about him or her. What do you think about being pessimistic or optimistic? Do you think that there are situations where we should be totally optimistic or totally pessimistic? What do you think?
It always depends on the situations, as you rightly said in the beginning, that it's all a situation-dependent thing. Where we need to be optimistic, where we need to be pessimistic. For example, we need to be optimistic about, especially like, you know, like the verse I recited here in front of you, I recited the meaning.
Yes.
It says that to not be pessimistic about people on the very, you know, first meeting. You don't know people. You don't meet people. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the hadiths from Noble Imam, Imam Ali al-Islam, says that if a person, you saw that he did bad to you with your eyes, you
yes.
saw he said bad, you heard it and you saw it.
Yes.
You heard it with your ears and you saw it with your eyes. Give 70 assumptions, 70 positive assumptions.
Assumptions, yes.
Maybe he never meant
yes.
that way. Maybe he, you know, he might be suffering from some other pressure this time. Yeah.
Yes,
maybe,
right.
Maybe this could be the case. Maybe that. Give 70 maybes. Give 70 positive maybes that maybe this can be the situation. But, you know, we don't even hear from some other person coming
yes.
and telling us that your friend, I was talking this about you. We straight away start believing that
yes,
person. What
yes, I'm being pessimistic.
It?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
We straight away
right.
start believing that person without any thought, without any thinking. We start believing that person and we you know, disturb our terms. We break our relations with our friends. Because in our young age, our friends are the ones who are the most, you know, kind
the
of...
The closest persons
exactly,
to you in the life.
The closest person.
Especially as a young person, yes, your friends have an important role in
yes,
your life.
Yes, and forgetting this hadith from Imam Ali al-Islam that gives 70 positive assumptions of being positive.
Yes, that's a really important hadith.
Yeah.
Talking about myself and you as well, we should all take this hadith
very, very seriously and apply this in our lives.
Yes, yes, and use it.
And
in
you
our life.
Also asked me about the pessimism. I think we should be like, if you're being attacked by someone, you should not have this thought that this person, I am not going to die. This person is going not going to
yes.
attack me. Or so sometimes it's completely a situation dependent thing. Where there are situations where we need to be optimistic. There are situations where we need to be pessimistic. Yes. And Islam, alhamdulillah, has given us Quran and narrations which guide us where to be optimistic. And
they've and told
where
us
to be.
What is the best thing to do.
Exactly.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Zainab
Salam,
for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to the IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator, my Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love.
Listeners special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special. On this Sunday, April 24th, 2022, I'm Atefe Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So, as usual, please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Or if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, listeners, especially your program, it's your views that are important. And here, as yesterday, April 23rd, corresponding with 21st of Ramadan, was the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful and the first infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Here, we extend our condolences to you on this tragic day. And for your information, tonight might be the night of Qadr or ordainment. The night of Qadr, as you know, is the night of mercy, goodness, and blessing till the rising of dawn. It is the best night of the year. According to narrations, the earth is filled with angels and the fate of all creatures is determined for the next year. Please pray for us, dear listeners around the world. So may Allah accept our prayers and wishes on this great night. And as usual, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails and letters. But for the time being, here we've received some reception reports from around the world, including reception reports from Kurtz Ettlinger from Germany, Ding Lu from China, and Olof Ratovara from Finland. As you know, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent us a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So here I do extend my appreciations to Olof Ratovara from Finland, Ding Lu from China, and Kurt Ettlinger from Germany for sending us reception reports. And as you know, Mohammed Khaku from the US has sent us an email. Mohammed Khaku is one of our old and regular listeners. Also from India, we've received an email from Madhab Chandra Sagur. From Japan, we've received from our old and regular listeners, from Toshiki Tesuboy. From the US again, we've received an email from Bill McDavid, and Alan Gale from the UK has sent us an email. Please stay with IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special. We come back with these great emails and letters. So, Madhab Chandra Sagur from India has sent us an email. He or she says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, a few days ago, I had the opportunity to listen to your broadcast in English. The intro music was so soothing and the reception in my place, Paragonas, India, was good. At the time of listening, the strong signal reached my area. I hope you find my reception report to be of some use. If the details are correct, please verify with a printed EQSL card. Thank you in advance." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Madhab Chandra Sagur from India. And many thanks for sending us this email. It seems that you've already joined IRIB English Radio. This is your radio. Let this mutual relationship between us and you continue. Madhab Chandra Sagur from India. Write us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, and we are looking forward to hearing your views about IRIB English Radio programs. So my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, an electronic QSL card, as a confirmation. Yes, the details you sent were correct. We verify it by sending an electronic QSL card to you as a confirmation. So, Mohammed Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a message, an email. Mohammed says, "We just made it through the first 15 days of Ramadan, the days of mercy. Alhamdulillah, it is truly a mercy that many of us are finally able to feel a sense of normalcy as COVID lays low this Ramadan." Salam and warm greetings to you, Mohammed Khaku from the US. Please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email. As you said, things are going, actually things, I mean, regarding the coronavirus and this disease are going to normal in this month, the month of Ramadan, which is the month of mercy. So we hope that this Ramadan, everything bad in the world, including the COVID-19, comes to an end. So, Mohammed Khaku from the US, thank you very much for sending us this message, and thank you very much for your prayers and wishes. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. Thank you very much. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. So, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Japan from Toshiki Tesubo. Stay with us, please. Thank you. welcome back. Toshiki Tosubo from Japan has sent us an email. Toshiki says, "Dear IRIB staff, my name is Toshiki Tosubo and I am a student who loves broadcast listening and DXing. Yesterday, I listened to your English broadcast and I'd like to send you a reception report. I also send an MP3 file that I record your broadcast. I feel very grateful if you accept this and send me a QSL card or an EQSL card." Salam and warm greetings to you, Toshiki Tosubo from Japan, and thank you very much for sending us this email. So you like broadcast listening and DXing, and that's great. Toshiki Tosubo from Japan, why don't you tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs in an upcoming email? Yes, we are waiting for that. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card or EQSL card as a confirmation. And thank you for attaching MP3 file of our broadcast. So we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Toshiki Tosubo from Japan. Again, from the US, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Bill McDevitt. Bill says, "Dear staff, greetings from Florida. I'm listening on the new frequencies as an updated on your website. The season is changing from winter to summer here. As a result, reception of your station and many others is difficult at this time. As the season progresses into summer, your signals will gradually improve. Noise levels, static at this time of the year, are strong throughout the daytime hours in North America. I will keep you posted as to your signal levels as we get into summer. My wife and I are cyclists, bicycles, not motorcycles. We travel all around North America during summer months, riding various trails. We have road trails in 20 states so far. I look forward to hearing your English program again on IRIB World Service. Best regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Bill McDevitt from the US, and please accept our gratitudes for sending us this great email. So we're so happy that you're listening on the new frequencies as updated on the website, and as you said, the reception of your stations and many others is good. As you said, the signals is improving because we are going from winter to the warm season, and that's great. So you're receiving strong signals during the daytime hours in your region in North America, and that's good. We are so happy for that. So thank you for sharing your information about your hobbies. As you said, you like cycling, you and your wife are cyclists, you like riding on bicycles, and you travel all around North America during summer months, riding various trails, and that's great. Wish you the best. We also are looking forward to hearing from you, Bill McDevitt from the US. We are waiting for, of course, your views about IRIB English radio programs. Write to us soon. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Alan Gale. So stay with us, please. Yes, Alan Gale from the UK has sent us an email. Alan says, "To all the staff at IRIB English Radio, may you have a blessed and enjoyable Ramadan, and thank you for all your services and the work you put into them throughout the year. In the UK, a number of special short-term radio licenses are issued throughout the month of Ramadan, and these go under the name of Radio Ramadan. There is one in the nearby town of Oldham. One of these operate on special short-term FM frequencies and are in both the English and Urdu languages. Very best regards to all, and thank you for your recent email and EQSL. They were very much appreciated." Salam and warm greetings to you, Alan Gale from the UK. And please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email and for all the details you just mentioned. Thank you very much for this great email. And you also may have a blessed and enjoyable Ramadan. And thank you for telling us your views about, IRB English radio programs. And that's great. A region, you said, nearby town of Oldham, of course, is broadcasting Radio Ramadan. And that's good. That's great. And as you said, it's short-term FM frequencies that are both in English and Urdu languages. That's good. So, Alan Gale from the UK, wish you all the best. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So here we reach to the end of our program, this week's actually listeners special. But before saying goodbye, again, I send my appreciations to our great listeners, including Toshiki Tsuboi from Japan, Muhammad Khaku from the U.S., Madhab Chandra Sugur from India, Bill McDevitt from the U.S., Alan Gale from the UK for sending us emails. And also, I do extend my gratitude to those of our listeners who have sent us reception reports, including Olaf Ratovara from Finland, Ding Lu from China, and Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. As you know, tonight might be the night of Qadr or the night of ordainment. The night of Qadr is the night of mercy, goodness, and blessing till the rising of dawn. It is the best night of the year. According to narrations, the earth is filled with angels, and the fate of all creatures is determined for the next year. Please pray for us, and may God accept all our prayers and all our wishes. Many thanks for being with us. Wish you all the best. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pastodayenglish. Thank you all.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. His
really in front of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program, Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet, and of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
So last time, dear Sheikh, we spoke about managing their time, i.e. keep them busy, don't let them be idle, either by delegating tasks to them, making them work in the house, or, Sheikh, I would also think they're just spending time with them or just giving them a fun hobby or an activity also is a solution, I would think, right?
It is a very good solution, providing them a kind of a hobby. For example, you know, today in today's world, the robotics are taking the upper right. hand. So you can get a robotics, make yourself kind of a kit.
Or whatever hobby or activity that interests
them. Stamp collections, right. coin collections.
Reading books, whatever it is.
Reading books, right. or even teach them some kind of a skill, you know, sketching, painting.
Sewing.
Whatever skill they're interested in, gardening right. or whatever.
So is there another way other than managing their idle time that we can employ?
It's managing their energies. And right. when you want to manage their energies, you have so many possible options. One, let me put it this way. Set of activities, educational activities, where they're learning something, increasing their knowledge base, be it, stargazing, or be it robotics or astronomy right. or whatever. Then you have physical set of activities, particularly for boys, because for boys, they have this high adrenaline running in them.
Right.
They need to let out all these energies. So some kind of a sports activity, you know, based on your country,
right.
you can have
a physical activity,
right. soccer or rugby, or baseball, or
karate,
cricket,
or some sort of martial arts.
Something where they right. can let out their energies. And this is extremely important. If they do not let out their energies and do not let out their adrenaline, it keeps building in, and it just makes them focus on the opposite gender.
Right. Yes.
And they try and invest all these energies to gain attention from opposite gender.
Right.
I would, want to put it across as a warning here, for the parents, that remember, if we do not plan for them, they will plan for themselves.
All right.
So for teenagers,
it is coming, whatever you're going to do.
Exactly.
So at least let that happen while they are prepared.
Correct. Rather, I would want to say this way, that if you don't plan a schedule for them and you just let them have the free time in their hands, then they're going to plan their own schedule. And they might plan things which you don't like,
right.
spending personal time, going out, meeting with inappropriate friends, hanging right. around with the wrong kind of company that we don't want them to hang around. Why is all this happening? Because we did not plan a schedule for them. We did not plan a set of activities for them, be it educational, be it physical, be it household chores or whatsoever. So take it as a warning. If we don't plan for them, they plan for themselves.
Right. And with that, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Now, Sheikh, just before we went on a quick break, you were saying that we should plan or schedule a routine for our children so that they may not fall into idleness and then, correct, unfortunately, fall into sin.
Correct.
Please pick up where you left off.
Particularly in this teenage, you know, I would want to emphasize that. Particularly in this teenage, you know, from the puberty till, you know, you get them married or whatever suitable age, till that time you need to have a good plan for them. Until and unless they reach a point where they can plan for themselves properly, you know.
Probably,
someone who's reached, you know, who's finished their college, who's finished their university, and they want to work. So now they have a plan. Now,
they're,
you can't go and plan for, correct. So now they've reached that adulthood. And before that, you're going through that teenage and adolescence. This is where the parents need to plan for them.
So they need to step up.
Exactly. And keep them busy. Let their brain not be idle. Provide them, you know, activities which keeps their brain busy.
Sheikh, would you say that introducing perhaps video games or movies is a good or a bad thing?
Because absolutely
bad
thing.
You know, especially in our youth today, video gaming, movies, series, it is spread like a wildfire.
And it's absolutely wrong to introduce video games and movies.
Right.
Then you have to follow a pattern, because if, when you introduce this, they slowly get into addiction, and then you have to follow a pattern to reduce their addiction and get them out of it. So if they're playing 5 hours a day, you'll have to reduce it to 4 hours. Well,
that's good for a teenager in this day of age.
I know. But let me tell you why this is problematic. So when you're playing a video game, what are you doing? What is your child doing? He's on a chair. He's got a you know, controller in his hand. He's watching stuff on TV. And then he's playing a high-energy game, you know, probably PUBG. Or I don't know what's the latest one.
High stimulation. Right.
Now, what's happening? As part of that strategy of the game, there's lots of energy and adrenaline being generated in his body. And there is no physical activity through which he's, you know, letting out the adrenaline out of his body.
Right.
Remember, when he does all these physical games like baseball or, you know, soccer and all that, and he starts sweating, one of the ways to let out the adrenaline out of your body is by,
exerting physical activity
and exercises, through which there's lots of blood circulation and this adrenaline runs through all your body and then sweats out of you.
It runs out.
Drains out, you know. So, so if he's sitting on a chair with a controller, the adrenaline is just building in him.
And it is there, of course, because these games are very intense.
And then when he steps out of the chair, you will notice all that aggressive behavior in the house. All that anger, all that temperament, all that stubbornness is all there in the house.
All that frustration.
Frustration and all that. Why is that happening? Because all that adrenaline needs to come out now.
Right.
And the only way he does this is through all his frustrations. So introducing games and movies...
Bad step.
Extremely bad.
Right.
Particularly if you want him to use it as a regular activity in his day. Like 1 hour video game every day, 1 hour movie every day, absolutely bad. But 1 hour video game in a month, or 1 hour movie in a week, or probably once in 2 weeks, that's fine, that's okay. But not like a habit here, because again, it boils down to that adrenaline kind of a scenario.
Right, let's continue this discussion after a break.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "The best among you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it."
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. So just before we went on a break, dear Sheikh, you said that video games or movies is not a good substitute that we can introduce to our children so that they may not be idle.
Yes. It will absolutely have the opposite effect.
For compared to the physical activity, it's absolutely not the right kind of a substitute.
What other ways then can we use to manage our children?
Great. A couple of things that we can point out too, but before that, I wanted to mention this particular point that when we talk about the human soul, the nafs, it has multiple levels, and one of them is nafs-e ammara, which we refer to as carnal desires, right?
Right.
And in this age, particularly with this hormonal changes and physical changes and moving towards puberty and that desire to and that attraction towards the opposite sex, here the carnal desires, the nafs-e ammara, also starts attaining that kind of growth and, you know, kind of a presence, a physical, not physical, a noticeable presence in the personality of the person.
Right. Yes.
Now, if we want to control this nafs-e ammara, the carnal desires, this is one of the things that we need to take care of. And that is not to pamper your children and fulfill all their requests and desires. So if your son or a daughter says that, I want a new shoes, so you'll have to let them know. You'll have to wait some time. Wait for 3 weeks.
Control yourself.
Sabr and patience.
Right.
Teach them how to control. Teach them how to tell their own nafs to remain calm, patient, and wait till the right time comes in. So give them a month's time. They want a new jean. Tell them that, okay, if you want to buy a new jeans, you'll have to do so-and-so, you know, course at home. And then next month, we'll buy a new jeans for you, or we'll buy a bicycle for you, or whatever. Teach them how to be patient. Suppress their carnal desires, suppress their the desires of nafs-e ammara, because in this age, they want to have many things because they notice that others are having it and I want to have it too. I want to have a bicycle, I want to have a Nike shoe, I want to have a Reebok, this thing, I want to have a particular outfit, I want to have a particular handbag, a particular goggles or shades. So you'll have to teach them how to suppress your nafs-e ammara, control the carnal desires, and have patience. Teach them the quality of sabr and patience.
Right.
And this will help them control their desire. Because one of the important virtues of any successful mu'min, a believer, is the virtue of patience.
One who controls himself and desires and lusts.
Correct. And this is the right age to start teaching them.
Right. Sheikh, what about the food that are eaten? Because we have many scientific research, and also we have narrations that say some foods are best not to be eaten by people who are single. Are these narrations and also the scientific data that we have, do they have any substance, or are they just hearsay?
It's definitely not hearsay, because if you look at the earlier cultures which had the medicine imbibed into their culture, including cultures like China, you have the feng shui there and
old medicine
and
herbal medicine,
herbal
as well.
Medicines,
yes.
Acupressure, acupuncture. If you go to India, you have Ayurveda there. If you come to the Middle Eastern region, you have Avicenna medical theories, where he talks about what is to be consumed and whatnot. If you look at and put them all together, you will see that all of them are pointing towards particular substances that should be avoided for particular personality types, more than the age, particular personality types, because at every age there is a particular personality type. And if you contribute to that personality type by eating a particular set of food, it is going to make you a more hyper person.
So, Sheikh, a final word then. What advice would you give to parents who currently have children who are going through this phase?
I would suggest that parents don't take the stage lightly and give special attention to this age, and, you know, have special schedules and timetables planned for your children in this age. Because if you don't, like I mentioned earlier, if you don't plan for them, they will plan a schedule for them. And a lot of parents, especially, you know, who've got multiple children, 2, 3, 4 children, they get tired when by the time the child reaches the teenage, the parents are tired of taking care. And but this is the making or the breaking point. If you don't pay necessary attention, everything can go wrong here. Especially if you have multiple children and if you've brought up your earlier 2 or 3 children correctly, then they're anyways going to contribute towards the upbringing of the fourth child. But if it's your first child, you'll have to put in lots of effort here to make sure that you upbring them correctly.
And on that note, we will end today's program. I thank you for contributing to this discussion and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest, Sheikh Murtada Karimi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Today we will continue our previous session's topic about why is it that the Imam alayhi salam, he didn't give more money from the treasury to those who had more power to avoid a conflict. Now, we spoke last time of the way that the previous caliphs, they did their governing, shall we say, by giving more money to those that they considered of more importance. Well, after 25 years of such a system of governance, it came to be that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he became the caliph by people insisting that he become the caliph. And already from the first day of his governance, he started to give equal shares of the treasury to everybody, poor and rich alike. Of course, he also did help the poor people, we should stress this out, but that was from the money of the zakat and not from the Baytul Mal. Dear Sheikh, there were some points that we didn't get to finish last time. Please expand even further.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The last point that I shared in the previous program, as you also referred to, was the fact that in some cases, Imam alayhi salam, when it comes to the poor people, he divided the Baytul Mal, the public treasury, equally for the poor and rich, for the noble companions of the Prophet and other people, for Arabs and non-Arabs, no difference. But he was, in many cases, he helped, many people, especially the poor, from, other ways like charity and zakat. It's been mentioned by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that once one of the friends of Imam alayhi salam asked him for monetary help, and in his answer, Imam Ali alayhi salam said that يَخْرُجُ عَطَائِي فَأُقَاسَمُكَهُ. You need to wait for my salary to come. This is interesting. So Imam alayhi salam also somehow take his salary from Baytul Mal like any other people.
Right.
So he says that, for now, I cannot give you from Baytul Mal, the public treasury. When it is time for dividing the public treasury, I take my share from that, and then I will give you what you want from my
That's the
my
imam.
Share.
That's the caliph of the Islamic
that's
Ummah.
That's the caliph of the, yeah. And interestingly, we mentioned that that person said that, no, that's not enough for me, and then he joined Muawiyah.
Interesting.
And this is not only for him. We have other people that, as you mentioned also, for 25 years, they got used to this,
being privileged and being rich.
Exactly,
right.
Without any Islamic basis. Now, when it comes to Talha and Zubair, first of all, there is no doubt about the fact that these two people, Talha and Zubair, they, at the time of the Prophet, they helped him a lot. These two people were among the first people who converted to the religion of Islam. It's been mentioned, we know that Zubair is the cousin of the Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he is among the first 8 people who converted to the religion of Islam after Imam Ali alayhi salam and Khadija salamullahi alayha. He was so courageous that he was known as Saiful Islam, the sword of the religion of Islam. Talha is known as Talhatul Khair, is again among the first people who converted to the religion of Islam. And he participated in most of the wars during the time of the Prophet. So we are not neglecting that they did a lot at the time of the Prophet. But does it guarantee the fate and destiny of the people? No. Let me give you some, historical reports about the properties that these two personalities gained at the time of the first 3 caliphs. So when the Holy Prophet passed away, they were just normal people.
Normal Muslims.
Exactly. When it comes to money and properties, they are just normal people. But in these 25 years, at the time of the first 3 caliphs, it's been mentioned that, for example, when Imam Ali alayhi salam, came to power, after 25 years, Talha, he had hundreds of slave girls and slaves, hundreds. Right. In Kufa, he had some specific buildings, houses, which were built by specific materials on those days, which only very rich
could afford
to do that. His income from his lands in Iraq on a daily basis was 1,000 dinars. So a normal companion of the Prophet cannot have such an income unless you are given all these by the caliphs of the time.
Of course, there's a difference just to mention how much this actually is, because we have a dirham and dinar.
Yeah.
Dirham is silver. Dinar is gold.
Gold, yeah.
So like 1,000 gold coins.
Exactly. He also had about 1,000 horses, and we know how precious one horse was at that time. It's been mentioned that when he passed away, his property was a couple of million dinars.
Worth.
Yeah. So, as a companion of the Prophet...
Like, Sheikh, as soon as you said that he had, 1,000 slave girls, how many slaves?
Hundreds of...
Hundreds. The Prophet's teachings were about freeing the slaves.
Yeah.
So you do not even need to tell me how he's going to end up, because I can already see there's something wrong here.
Yeah, there's something wrong here. When it comes to Zubair, it's been mentioned that he built luxurious houses in different cities, like in Basra, in Kufa, in Egypt, and other cities. Again, when he passed away, he had thousands of dinars and, many horses and so on and so forth.
Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio.
can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So this is the new character of these two great companions of the Prophet. Yes, they did a lot, but they also changed a lot after the demise of the Prophet.
Wow, that's very good said. Beautifully yeah. said. They also changed a lot.
Yeah, for 25 years, I mean, their characters, their nature is changed completely. I mean, such a companion of the Prophet should not ask Imam Ali alayhi salam for more from the public treasury. But right. now the nature has completely changed. So the point is that is it only about public treasury? No. I mean main concern of Talha and Zubair was not only to have more share from public treasury so that one may ask that Imam alayhi salam could give them more and right. through that prevent the war. No, it's not only about public treasury. They wanted to play a key role in the government of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And it's been mentioned very explicitly that they went to Imam Ali alayhi salam and, I mean, again, very explicitly asked Imam Ali alayhi salam to make them the governor of Kufa and Basra. One of them wanted to be the governor of Kufa and the other wanted to be the governor of Basra.
So it wasn't enough with economical power because they were still rich when the imami began. Rich. He didn't take their properties.
Exactly.
He let them keep their properties. But they wanted political power.
Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, this is the decision of Imam to give, the governorship of two very important cities and at that time, that is Kufa and Basra, to two people who are, I mean, not at all similar to those two companions.
They are not
of the
righteous,
Prophet.
They are not just, and they do not Nothing. Think for the people.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, such a rich people cannot think of poor people. So right. how come Imam Ali Salam can, I mean, trust such people?
Exactly.
And give them the power in two cities of Kufa and Basra. It's not only about these two, because at the time of Uthman, he had a kind of, interest in giving the power to his relatives and
right,
close friends and
right.
family members. And in many cities, the people in power were from close relatives of Uthman or friends. And when Imam alayhi salam came to power, he dismissed and deposed many of them. It's not only about Talha and Zubair.
They were basically nepotists. They were only choosing their family and relatives. Imam alayhi salam came and said, no, it's not about who you are, what your blood is. It's about who you are as a Muslim.
Exactly. So this is the, reality about Talha and Zubair. As I mentioned, maybe we can say for sure that their main concern was not about the public treasury.
Right. It's not because they were living like poor people. They exactly. didn't have food and bread to eat.
That's the point.
Right.
Even if Imam Ali Salam gave them more but did not give them the governorship, they may do the same. Initiate the war against Imam Ali alayhi salam.
So this is actually not a conflict because of money and economics. It was actually because they wanted political power.
Exactly. And also it's been mentioned that when they come to this point that in the government, they have no share in the government of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and at the same time, according to some reports, they receive a letter from Muawiyah, who also instigated them to revolt against Imam Ali alayhi salam, and gave them the promise that he will give them governorship.
The governance when he becomes the caliph.
Exactly.
Right.
So that was the reason that we know the story of the Battle of Jamal and the fact that they went out of the city telling Imam alayhi salam they're going for pilgrimage, and Imam alayhi salam told them that I know your true intention, and the rest of the story. So
right.
it's not only about money, it's mainly about having, continuing the life that they were used to it before the time of Imam alayhi salam.
To be fair, dear Sheikh, they were already continuing the life.
Exactly.
I do not understand.
So is it possible for Imam alayhi salam to make these two people as governors of two very important cities and f- there is no doubt about the fact that if these two people come to power, it means that Imam Ali Salam is not with justice anymore.
Yes.
So if I may answer this question in one word, Imam Ali Salam is ready to, defend himself in a war, but protect the concept of justice. Because without justice, the whole Islamic society, the whole Islamic government...
And structure, collapses.
...would be destroyed. But if you are going to protect the concept of justice, you may